Just going to, just the first couple of verses in the Bible reading that Rodney has chosen in Colossians 4, 16 to 18. Now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of Laodiceans, of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Barry's going to come and bring us a Bible reading from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Thanks, Barry.
All right. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you all have become dull of hearing.
Thanks, mate. Just pray with you. Dear God, we just thank you again just for the service this morning. We thank you, Lord, for open hearts. We thank you, Lord, for a man here that's just willing to just share the scriptures that you've given him, the thoughts that you've given him, and I thank you for his heart. I thank you for his love for you. And I pray now, Lord, that your word will just come through him to every heart and mind that is here this morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's an honour and a privilege to stand up here. It's because it's not me, I wouldn't be here if the Lord didn't give me the strength, the backbone, the whatever it is that helps me do this. But we hope to spend a few minutes here speaking of God and his love and his word. If I had a title, if I had to give this a title, it would be called The Hidden Treasures in the Darkness. That would be the message, title of this message, Hidden Treasures in the Darkness. In the next few minutes, I hope to show that even in times of darkness, God gives us treasures to be found. The darkness that I'm talking about is not sin or wickedness in our lives, but the times in our lives when we find ourselves in a place of trial, testing, trauma, and loneliness. Times when we are in a deep hole with no light or comfort to provide any hope. Times even when the Lord appears to be silent and our cries are not answered. Are there treasures which can only be found in the dark? Yes, I believe that there are. History is full of illustrations of how people have made discoveries in the darkness that they may have not made in the light. And I hope to give some of those illustrations that point to the one who can provide that hope in the dark. Some of those, we're going to jump around a bit, but we'll get some exercise doing that. But yes, there's illustrations which I hope to provide in the course of this. And the first one is John Bunyan. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress and other well-known books. He was arrested in 1660 for preaching without official permission from King Charles II. I hope our current King Charles does not have ideas like that, but I don't believe so. The next 12 and a half years were spent in Bedford County Jail. It was in prison that he wrote his life story, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. A second imprisonment saw the first part of Pilgrim's Progress written. Would the literary world have works like those if Bunyan had not been in prison? I don't know. Perhaps not. In total, he spent something like 14 and a half years in a 17th century English prison. The second part of the Pilgrim's Progress was written after his release in 1677. Someone else who found treasure in the darkness was the Apostle Paul. As we know, Paul was in prison many times, and he wrote four of his epistles from the depths of prison, namely Philemon, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians. And I asked for the last three verses of Colossians to be read, but really only need the last verse. In that last verse of Colossians, there it is, Paul writes, "This salutation is by my hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen." In that line, Paul shows how he had developed the attitude that enabled him to stand fast in the midst of the most dark and depressing circumstances. Listen again to the words, this time in the Moffat translation. Remember, this is Moffat. "Remember, I am in prison. Grace be with you." He didn't say, "I'm in prison, God give me grace." No, he puts it the other way around. "I am in prison, grace be with you." It is as if he is saying, "I have found grace in the darkness of a prison cell, enough and to share. I pass it on to you." And he did so in his spirit-inspired writings. Paul would have struggled inwardly when he found himself in the darkness of a prison cell. He was confined for no other reason than for that of announcing the good news. Losing his liberty was hard, but it was harder still to be shut off from the opportunity to tell men and women about his beloved Saviour. What could compensate for that? In the darkness, he found treasure. The Spirit of God gave him the words to write the epistles to the churches, epistles which we have today and we know as his inspired word, the inspired word of God. What was given to him in prison, he passed on to millions who have read these words and will continue to do so until Jesus comes again. Again, I wonder, could such words have been written outside the prison walls? Again, maybe, maybe not. In the long days and nights of pondering upon Jesus, his thoughts were turned into immortal phrases through which men and women have looked into the heart of a Saviour God. Praise the Lord for treasures in darkness. The experience of being engulfed in darkness can either make or break us. Some it shatters, some it strengthens. But when our souls are open to the grace that constantly flows towards us from heaven, as Paul testified to, then every limitation, every difficult situation, every perplexing circumstance can be the opening for a new discovery of God and a new revelation of his love. Did being in prison for the cause of Christ break Paul? No, he was given grace from God to continue the work that he was called to do. One takeaway perhaps is this: God will never allow us to be surrounded by darkness without handing us a pick so that we can dig for treasure. Perhaps the best example of someone who made discoveries in the darkness is our Lord himself. Hebrews 5:5-11. My thanks to Barry for his reading of this passage. He was spared the word propitiation, but we gave him Melchizedek instead. But thank you very much, Barry. We do appreciate it. Some of the passage is not really needed, but it was a bit hard to leave it out. It talks about Aaron. Aaron was the high priest of Israel who had been called by God, thus establishing his authority. His purpose as a priest was to offer to God sacrifices for sins on behalf of the people, and to have compassion on the ignorance and waywardness of the people on behalf of God. The problem with Aaron's priesthood was Aaron himself. Since he was a sinner, he had to make a sin offering for himself as well as for the people. Christ's priesthood was on an entirely different level than that of Aaron. Like Aaron, he was called by God, and his calling was unique. Like Aaron, he offered prayers and supplications. But unlike Aaron, Christ was heard because of his godly fear, because of who he was. He was the Son of God. Unlike Aaron, Christ learned obedience through suffering. Unlike Aaron, the salvation that Christ brought was eternal. So, to get to the point of that, Jesus, we are told, learned obedience by all he suffered. In verse 8 it says, How is it that the Son of God could learn anything? Did he not have all knowledge and wisdom? Yes, he did. But when he took upon himself our flesh, he deliberately and voluntarily limited himself to finding out about life in the way that we find out, by facing life's trials day after day. He learnt that treasure in darkness, the darkness of suffering. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus brought his pain and anguish to his Father. He still had to face the cross, but because he did, the world was never the same again. Because he did, we who believe in him are spared a lost eternity. Coming closer to home, I would like to think about one particular kind of darkness that we may have all experienced at some time or another. It is the darkness of loneliness. I'm just going to use this as an example. I'm not a psychologist and I don't claim to be an authority on it, but I think it is worth looking at. There may be treasure in this darkness. By loneliness, I don't mean aloneness. There is a difference. So what is loneliness? It is a feeling we get when we are bereft of meaningful human companionship. It can be a sense of isolation, of inner emptiness or deprivation. Those are some of the dictionary answers. A more realistic answer might be, it is a feeling that is just plain terrible. The English poet Rupert Brooke records how, when he first set sail from Liverpool for New York in 1913, just 1 year after the loss of the Titanic, he felt terribly lonely because no one had come to see him off. Everyone else had friends waving them goodbye, but not him. Looking down from the deck, he saw a scruffy little boy, and as quick as anything, he ran down the gangway and said to him, "Will you wave to me if I give you sixpence?" "Why, yes," said the little boy, and the sixpence changed hands. That day, Rupert Brooke wrote in his diary, "I got my sixpence worth in an enthusiastic farewell, dear, dear boy." Sometimes it can be something as simple as a little boy and sixpence to ease the pain of somebody's loneliness. Someone once described some churches, thankfully not all, and I don't think our church is one, but somebody described some churches as lonely places where lonely people go so that everyone can be lonely together. And if that is true of some churches, then that is sad. I don't believe it's true of us, but it is a good lesson that we can take note of so that we don't allow ourselves to neglect those around us. Getting back to Jesus, I ask the question, did Jesus ever feel lonely? I cannot think that he would be able to sympathise with this problem had he not at some time in his life felt lonely. There were times when he was bereft of human companionship, and in that dark hour on the cross he was bereft of divine companionship also. The disciples were incapable of entering into Jesus' feelings as he agonised in Gethsemane. How would he have felt about that, I wonder? On the eve of his death, they argued about precedence. They slept while he wrestled in prayer. when he was arrested, they ran away. His self-sacrifice mystified the people who were his closest companions. Not one single soul understood why he allowed men to take him and string him up on a cross. No matter how difficult it may be to face the darkness of loneliness, we know one thing at least. Jesus knows how we are feeling. Others may not understand, but he most certainly does. Bringing it back even closer to home, I wonder how many here were ever sent away to boarding school back in the day. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I know Margie was. She was sent away for 7 years. And I was as well, but only for 2. For me, it was 1,000 miles away from home. There were no phone calls to home during the term. The only contact was our parents' letter every week. And both of us are thankful that we had parents that wrote to us. Not every kid had that. I've touched on this before when I was up here quite a few years ago. But our congregation has changed somewhat, so I'm going to go there again. I remember in grade 8 when the Gideons came to the school, as they did, gave each boy, it was a private school for boys, a Gideon's New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs. When we moved in from the farm 3.5 years ago, I found my copy. I knew it hadn't been thrown out. Perhaps many of you have received one in your day also. At night time after tea in the boarding school, we had tea. After that we had prep, which is another word for doing our homework. We would be in a room somewhere and there we would work in silence for 2 hours, almost like a convent. It was at times like this that loneliness sometimes hit, but I had some treasure. I would get out my Gideons and devour its pages. It's not all about the Gideons, it's about any New Testament, Psalms. There are many different books, versions of it, not just the Gideons, but that was what I had. It's showing a bit, its age a bit. And if I open it up, it's got my name, I wrote my name in it, and it's got 5th of August, 19. Oh, no, we won't go there. But, if you open it up, it's got where to find help when afraid, anxious, facing a crisis, needing inward peace, weary, all these references that you can read. And I did that. And in the quietness of the prep room where no one knew what you were doing, no one looked across to see what you were reading. But I even had some highlighted. I found the Psalms very helpful, but other chapters in the New Testament as well. Here we go. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. He didn't deliver me from boarding school, no matter how hard I tried, but hey, we know that. We couldn't do that. He got me through. But throughout this, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And this little book was for a 13-year-old in a boarding school, it was my treasure in the darkness. This went on for a time until I shifted schools up to Charles Towers, but I'm not sure what happened, but whether I kept it then up there, but I can stand here and say that I too was given a treasure in the darkness, the treasure of God's word, whether it's Gideon's or who. This was a treasure that I found in those days. At the risk of jumping from one thought to another, I want to close with a word from Job. I think we all know something of the story of Job. Job was engulfed in silence and said in chapter 23, Oh that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words that he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. In verse 8, look, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But then he comes around, he has a rethink, maybe, and he says, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. We may not know the way, the rhyme or the reason, but he does. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, whether it be a Gideon's New Testament or your word directly to us. Your spirit speaks to us, Lord. Your spirit works in our hearts and gives us peace and direction and hope. So, Lord, we do pray. We thank you for all that you do for us in our daily lives just to get through. And we thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Amen.